Hi, this is Chris Peterson reporting live on recording from San Francisco, California, in the Cathedral Hill neighborhood at the Holiday Inn Golden Gateway on Van Ness Avenue between California and Pine Streets. Why am I here? Well, a few months ago, I received a letter from Guide Dogs for the Blind inviting Guide Dogs alumni to reune at a reunion on November 10th through the 12th. And this is the first time that they've ever done anything like this before. And I thought it was a really neat idea, so I decided to sign up and go. So Tracy and I are both here, and we have been doing a little bit of exploring of, just around the corner from the hotel, and we registered for the reunion this afternoon, got a huge Braille program of events and all kinds of other stuff, and a gift bag. Oh, where did I put that? A gift bag full of things, including some candy, a couple of CDs, and some other stuff. So on the agenda for this afternoon, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., I will be attending a seminar on the Trekker GPS system, which is going to be offered by Humanware Canada. And Humanware Canada is also offering a 15% discount on Trekker GPS units, or the Trekker Maestro unit, which I guess is, it's been a while since I've researched this, but I think that is a PDA and GPS unit combined. It has a little more functionality, but I'll find out more at the seminar, I assume. I don't know if I will record that. It will be 4 hours long, and I don't think it'll be worth recording the whole thing, but anyway, I was saying that Humanware is offering a 15% discount on the Trekker and the Maestro Trekker, and they're also, for those who actually buy one, and I imagine there's going to be relatively few that take people up on this, because they're just a touch expensive. For those who actually buy one, they're going to hold a drawing, and the winner of the drawing gets their unit for free. So, who knows, I may just come out of here with a new toy. I've seen these things before, and I've always kind of wanted one, but not quite badly enough to buy one. But, might happen, who knows. I don't know. Tracy's kind of looking at me thinking that maybe I shouldn't spend the money, and she might be right, but I just received notice that I would be filing my fourth patent earlier this week, and that comes with a little bit of a taste that ought to pay for a little bit of, probably about half of the Trekker itself. So I might be able to justify it by that. In any case, that's what's going to be happening from 1 to 4. After that, they're going to be holding a reception where we can meet and greet and reune with old friends. Is reune really a word? I just made it up. And meet new friends, and I might do some recording of that too. I know for a fact that at least one person that I know is supposed to be here, and I think, but I'm not sure, that there ought to be other people. In fact, this morning at breakfast, there were a few people from, or that are also here for the reunion. And turns out they didn't know that each other was going to be there, but they were both roommates in the same class at Guide Dogs. And they got together and just by running into each other at breakfast. And I went over to introduce myself to them and meet up with them this morning. And so that was kind of neat. I imagine that I'll catch up with some other people. I was just thinking Bill Rausch might be here. He doesn't live too far from here, so he may show up with Heldy for this. He is a longtime radio camper and a really neat guy. Hoping to maybe hook up with some people that I was in class with. Maybe we'll see Jerry Kloss here from Handy Hams. He's been a longtime member of the alumni board for guide dogs. I don't know if he's still doing that, but he used to, and I wouldn't be surprised if I happen to catch him here. Person that's going to be singing tomorrow at one of the luncheon things, her name is Jeannie Martin, and she was in my first guide dogs class, so I'm kind of looking forward to catching her. We used to keep in touch quite a bit for a couple of years after I first got my first dog, and we sort of just lost track of each other, and I'm not quite sure how, but I think it was just because there was lots of stuff going on and didn't really stay in touch. But I wouldn't be surprised if I run into other people that I can't think of while I'm listing people right now that happen to be here. So looking forward to that. Should be neat. Something that Famous Dave asked me about was, how does this work when you have a whole bunch of literally hundreds of blind people in the same place, and for the most part, they're all unfamiliar with it? And I don't have a real good answer to that question right now, but I can tell you that I've met up with at least, more than half of a 10 of blind people. And they've all been doing pretty well so far. So I certainly haven't had a great deal of difficulty figuring out the hotel. I actually, about 1 o'clock in the morning yesterday morning when we got in, I went for a walk around the block just to see what the place was like. And then the security guard told me that I might not want to do that. But I don't know. I think he was wrong. Maybe there are safer neighborhoods to do that in, but I wanted to understand what the neighborhood was like, and did get a little bit of a sense of that way. And it was also kind of a way to wind down after a long day of traveling, working, and then traveling, and getting here, and it helped me to kind of get to sleep. So that was a good thing. Dinner and entertainment are on our own this evening after this reception. And I am kind of hopeful that maybe I'll run into a friend or two and maybe find a way to hook up with some other people to engage in dinner and entertaining sorts of behavior, like getting Tracy really drunk. That would be entertaining. Yeah. So,
I wouldn't mind a drink either. I don't know about getting me really drunk.
Well, that would be entertaining for me is the thing. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. In any case, we'll see how that goes. And knowing blind people and how they love to podcast, I think I might be making use of this thing a lot. From about 9 o'clock until 11:30 or potentially later, they've got a hospitality suite set up for us. It's on the same floor as our room, and
it's
I think it's what?
It's 708. It says.
Oh, they did say that in there. Yeah, I think I remember reading that now. Now that you mention it, in any case, they've got that set up, and 708 isn't even very far from here.
No.
So. I'm looking forward to checking that out and maybe doing some recording there. There might even be people playing some of me tunes there, Ringo. So We'll see if we can get him to strum a Ringo tune or two on the good old GDB guitar, which they're planning to break out for the occasion. The GDB guitar, which I had intended to change the strings on one evening and managed to break it. So it might not be the same good old GDB guitar, but I think it was repairable. There's these little, that particular guitar has these little peg things that hold the strings in place across the bridge. And well, some of them when they came out disintegrated. So I can't really claim that it was my fault. Yeah. I was performing the procedure correctly, but there was a quality control problem with some of the components of the guitar. So I guess, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. And that's kind of the schedule for today, Friday, November 10th. And I'll try and do a little bit more recording, maybe introduce the day tomorrow, Saturday, November 11th, and then we'll be flying home late at night on Saturday night. We are actually going to be getting home before noon, we hope, on Sunday, and we're going to be really tired. And I mean really tired, because we will basically have been flying all night. And I'm planning to do a show, but I'm hoping that I have enough pre-recorded content from this thing that I can actually just sort of put the show on and sleep. But I'll make sure to turn the microphone up so you can hear the snoring mixed in with the canned content. That's all for now. I imagine that if you're listening to this, you will hear a nice transition to another piece of recording. But I don't know, because I haven't edited it yet. Okay, I have now gotten my haircut. And Tracy was just starting to describe the barbershop that we were in, which is, this is not like a chain place, like a Supercuts or something. This is an actual barbershop that I was in, and oh man, he must have spent 45 minutes or an hour on my hair. So this is the longest haircut I've ever had. But Tracy wanted to describe the place because it was pretty neat. So.
The place was really cool. It was like the old, what you picture for an old style barbershop. Like, there was the wooden radio with the actual dials. It did say that it was a replica, but it was cool for ambiance purposes.
Yep.
And there was like the black ring phones where you have to dial. I mean, it's like an actual,
like they have a rotary dial.
Yeah, like a rotary dial. Thank you. And like the separate, you know, handpiece that you pick up. And it was just one of those black old-looking phones.
Yep.
And then their countertops were, you know, the old marble-looking countertops. And the wood was this rich, dark wood. And there was this big chandelier-type thing hanging from the ceiling. And it looked older, but it was just the coolest ambiance.
Yeah, just a really nice guy working on my hair. Just worked really hard on, you know, he'd go back and, like, trim a little bit more off of a part, you know, where he didn't think he got it right the first time. And worked on, my hair is pretty curly, so he, you know, it's kind of a challenge to cut. And usually they just sort of lop it off and if it gets shorter, it gets a little less curly. But this guy actually tried to, you know, cut some of those extra curls away and make it look good. And,
yeah, he was really excellent.
Yeah, I really liked it. I'm going to have to try and find an actual barber shop at home now, because it was a good experience.
Yeah.
So more later when we get back to the hotel.
Well, we're now sitting in the, what is this place called again? The hotel bar. It's the Interlude Bar and Grill here, where they have a dinner menu that takes up about 5-6 pages of braille. And since it takes up only that much braille, you know it's not very big. But we're gonna try and get some dinner here. We did go to the reception, and I kind of forgot to record anything there. How bad of me. Did talk to some people. Didn't run into anybody that I really know. But I guess there are still going to be some people coming in tomorrow, and we're hoping to get over to the hospitality suite here in a few hours. I did buy a new toy. I bought the Trekker GPS with the Maestro PDA software built into it also. And so I'm looking forward to playing around with that. I put it on the charger this evening, and maybe I can do a little bit of a demo of that in a future podcast or something. But here we are, and we're going to eat. Tracy actually took a nap while I went on the Trekker demonstration this afternoon, and that was very cool. Just walking around the block of our hotel, there was a lot of things that I learned about what was on those particular blocks, just from the map data and the GPS telling you about it. So I'm looking forward to trying that out in Rochester, just to try and learn about things around there that I just never knew about before.
There's probably more than, like, it has ever been mentioned to you. I mean, you probably will find completely new things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sort of what I'm thinking. Yeah. The problem with people that can see is they tell you about what's important to them and not necessarily everything that's there. So you don't always know.
You've mentioned a lot about problems with people that can see it. Just convention.
Yeah.
We try.
Yeah, you know, I've learned a lot. Started to come to terms with some things lately, you know, about the way I feel about things. And that's one of them. I hate people who can see. They just piss me off. That's the way I feel.
Okay. That's going to be really good considering your wife can see.
Yeah.
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 I guess she's not going to read you the mail anymore. That might be something that can piss you off, too.
Well,
she can see the mail.
She never really read me the mail in the first place. Well, sometimes she got to it the year after my grandma died, or, you know.
But she did read the mail. Come on.
Yeah. Yep, 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 yep. So this menu has categories. Starters are on page 1. I haven't looked at those. Salads are on page 2. Jelena's specialties are on page 3. Specialty pizza, I guess, is sandwiches are on page 4. Chef's specialties are on page 5. And desserts are on page 6. Well, we've now had our dinner. I had a vegetarian but still actually really decent portobello mushroom sandwich, which is essentially just a giant mushroom on a bun, and this had feta cheese and some kind of secret sauce. I don't know. It was really decent, though. And
had avocado.
Thought it was
avocado on it.
Avocado. That's it. But I liked it, and I'm not usually into vegetarian stuff, so that was good. And Tracy, of course, being the incredibly boring person that she is, had a pepperoni pizza, of all things.
You're not supposed to call me incredibly boring.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tracy, being the little bit sort of boring person that she is, no, stop choking me.
Don't ever call me boring again.
Stop
so gamey.
Okay, we're standing here in the hospitality suite, and you get a sense of what's going on here. It's, 10 o'clock at night, and this is like a 10 by 10 foot room with way too many people in it. Anyone want to be on a podcast? Anyone at all? Anyone want to be on a podcast? Anyone at all? Yeah. Podcast? Podcast, anyone? Hello? All right.
What's it for?
Oh, just for... because I had the recorder in my pocket.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it.
All right. Do it.
Well, you got to run the show. Isn't it your show?
Oh, yeah.
I'll take it over. Hey, it's Dan Kaiser's show, live at 7:30 p.m., and we're going to rock and roll with the sounds of Joe Schmo's podcast. What's your name?
God.
I don't even know your name.
Chris Peterson.
Chris Peterson, live and direct. Okay, yeah. Did I do okay?
Yes. That was good. I'm stunned. I'm stunned. And.
But I'm going to keep my day job.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Yeah.
Hey, you're not supposed to agree.
I'm sorry. I just wasn't thinking.
I know you have a motive, so what do you want me to... I'm on the board of directors of Guide Dogs to the Blind, and I'm on the alumni board.
Interview yourself. Quick, talk to yourself.
I am, therefore I am.
Wow. I think that was one of the most profound interviews I've ever done.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Absolutely.
No bull.
Yeah.
But we're really enjoying the Guide Dog reunion, the first ever. And I think this is a real...
Will there be another one?
In 5 years. There will be.
Okay. 5 years? Wow.
Hopefully we'll have it somewhere, and hopefully we're looking at Chicago or somewhere in the Midwest.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
Of course, we have Guide Dog users from all over the United States and Canada and Asia and Europe, and we're not doing too bad. We're the largest guide dog school in the United States at this point.
That's what I hear. And do we know at all about how many people attended the reunion?
220 will be at the banquet.
Okay, very nice.
Probably 230 actually attended.
I think we managed to fit about 215 into this room this evening. It sure seems that way. So, this is just a hodgepodge of little clips of things that I record. And when I edit them...
Is that a mini disc?
No, this is an Edirol R09. It's all digital.
Can I feel it?
You may feel it. Fondle it.
Oh, okay. Is this a stereo mic right here?
Yes, it is.
Oh, all right. And this is the one that you take out the a compact flash card.
It's an SD card.
An SD card.
Yep.
And how many? How long?
Well, I have a 4 gig SD card in there. So.
Wow.
So at 320K, I can record for longer than the batteries will last. Longer than about 3 sets of batteries will last. I think it's about 22 hours or something.
Wow.
If I lower the bitrate down to something more manageable, then it'll record for even longer. But
does that have editing capability, like sound on sound?
No, not built into the recorder, but you can always...
I've heard about that unit. I guess that's the talk of the town right now.
Yeah, although the Zoom H4 just came out, and I guess that's pretty cool, too.
What's the Zoom H4?
It's another recorder, an MP3 recorder of this type. It's made by a different company. It's supposed to have some different features.
Now, when you go to edit with that, because I'm a cool edit guy. I've been used to editing sound, wave files.
Yep.
And so when you go to edit with that, how do you edit that? What software do you use?
Should be able to just, it's all MP3 files, so you should just be able to open them up and cool edit.
Well, yeah, yeah, but it goes through this conversion thing, and so you have to convert it to WAVE, basically.
Yep. Okay. Or you can use, like, MP3 Direct Cut, or there's a couple other MP3 editing programs that don't go through the conversion, but most of the time they don't do very much. They just let you clip things out.
Cut and paste.
Cut and paste, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I really love... I took a SoundForge course, too, but I really liked CoolEdit. Now, I don't know the new CoolEdit that was bought out by... the company that I'm trying to remember the Adobe.
Yeah.
Adobe bought them out.
Apparently so, yeah.
So I don't really know much about them, but the program.
I don't even know that I'm a SoundForge guy. I don't know if I've ever used CoolEdit at all. I also have a Goldwave license, and I use that.
Oh, there you go. That's people really like that.
Yeah.
I was using the early two versions that would lock up my computer, and that was the end of it.
So yeah, I could see where that would be.
I don't even know why it did that. I just chucked it and said, I don't need this.
Yeah, yeah.
But they probably got that problem resolved. Especially with XP.
I like to, you know, like with something like this, I like to sometimes clean it up, and in a noisy room like this, I might put a noise reduction filter on it to try and knock down the background noise. And,
do you normalize? Is that what you do? Normalize it down?
I normalize and compress sometimes. You know, whatever makes it sound the best is what I do.
I've actually taken, and I have some albums with CoolEdit that I've taken albums, and I've used the pop click filter, okay, and got that out.
Yep.
Then I've taken sample the surface noise, and then I said, delete this noise. And I've actually had some perfectly clear old vinyl.
This is the big event, the assembly on Saturday morning. And we are all sitting in the Emerald Room here, big ballroom sort of an area, and waiting for the festivities to begin. I understand, but I haven't read the schedule yet, that we're going to have some speakers this morning, and we will be heading over to the Guide Dogs campus about 10:30. We're going to be over there until 3:30, 4 o'clock-ish, and doing tours and some workshops and all kinds of interesting stuff. Should be a lot of fun, and I think the consensus here in the room, you can hear just how many people there are. And this is the first time they've ever done this, so the next time they do this, I mean, when it really takes off, this is just going to be great. It's a very enthusiastic crowd. Everybody's had a good time. People have met up with people they know and made some new friends. I have not met up with a lot of people that I knew, a couple, but not a great number, and but the day is still young, and I guess there are some people that are only going to be here for Saturday and Sunday, so there are more people around today than there were yesterday. We're now on the bus, waiting to go to the Guide Dogs campus, and there is some question about whether they're actually going to be able to fit everybody on these buses, because the size of people with dogs is a little bit large. These are children's school buses. I can't even sit in the seat straight ahead. I have to sit at an angle because the seat in front of me is too close to me and blocks my knees. But we're going to get there. The driver seems a little bit stressed by the whole situation. But most people seem to be pretty content with the situation and dealing with it. We'll be back when we've gotten to the GDB campus.
All right, now I'm going to try to straight face, because this guy and I are always teasing each other and having a good time. We share an office together, and I just have a ton of respect for him. He's been a real mentor for me here at Guide Dogs and for a lot of other people. He's just done some wonderful things for us, and he's going to talk to you guys a little bit today. he, you know, a lot of people give him attention for, you know, his attention has been put on his pretty amazing escape from the World Trade Center. But I think that Michael Hinkson is an amazing guy, whether he was at the World Trade Center or not. He's just had a successful career. He's a very good person, very creative and fun, and I've said a lot of nice things about him, and I can't say anything else nice about him or I might explode. So, he'll never let me live it down. Anyway, I'd like to introduce to you one of our fellow alumni or alumnus, Mr. Michael Hinkson.
Wow, it's great to be here. Is everybody having fun yet?
Yeah.
Who's not having fun?
I'll count down.
Just check it. Because if you're not having fun...
Would you like to borrow my jacket for a little bit?
Then we're going to stick all the belts on you tonight.
Good boy.
I don't need
it. In thinking about this... Oh, wait a minute.
You make it louder.
Lizelle gets really bored sometimes when we get on stage and she snores.
It
really says a lot about me, I suppose, or at least her opinion of me. Nevertheless, you got to cope with what you got to cope with, and we move on. But we do.
Mike, make it louder!
The mics are not the greatest in the world here. How's that?
Yeah.
There we go.
Anyway, Roselle sometimes snores when we're on stage, and that's a little bit irritating to a public speaker. It, I suppose, is her opinion about something or another. But the bottom line is, I get my vengeance because if I'm using a wireless mic, I put it down and let everybody hear her snore. And I point out that this is what they're not allowed to do. In the last few weeks, I have been reading and participating on some of the listservs, as I do as an individual, not on behalf of Guide Dogs. But I've been reading some interesting messaging threads that I find interesting. And I find them interesting because I think some people are missing the mark. There have been some discussions about the new Guide Dog video. There have been some discussions about some of the wording that we've used.
Okay.
And calling our guide dogs soulmates and calling them lifelong friends, partners. People have said it's too mystical and it's not realistic. It's a bunch of junk. That's not what we should be doing. That's not promoting the guide dog as the mobility tool that it is. And my response to all that is balderdash. For 27 years, I participated in sales and sales management activities. I was a sales manager for a long time, which meant, in every sense of the word, I was a team builder. I had to create many sales teams. I had to work to get those people on those teams to work together. Longer than that, now for some 42 years, I have been responsible for creating another kind of team, the same team that each of you create as soon as you meet your soulmate, your guide dog. We are team builders in every sense of the word. We work to create a relationship, a bond that is second to none. We all understand it. And I don't have any qualms or any difficulty at all in talking about Roselle, Linny before her, Klondike before her, Holland before him, and Squire first of all. I have no problem in talking about all of them as my teammate, my soulmate, my friend, my companion, my best friend, whatever you choose to say. I remember going to college for the first time, the first time I ever really lived away from home. I made some friends, and in fact some lifelong friends, at college. But first and foremost, my best friend was Squire, who lived with me in my room, a golden retriever who one day stole a package of onion rolls. ate the package of onion rolls and didn't feel one lick of guilt. Squire, who one day was kidnapped by members of our dorm, people who lived in my dorm when I was next door working on a physics problem with someone, they hid Squire in a shower. I went looking for Squire, including going into the bathroom, opening the shower door, just figuring maybe he was there, calling, "Squire, come!" Squire did not come. I finally lost my temper and said to somebody, "This is ridiculous. Where is my dog?" "Your dog is in the bathroom." And of course, this was one of my friends, because the people who kidnapped him were still thinking that I wasn't finding out what was happening. So anyway, my friend said, "Well, they kidnapped him and they put him in the shower." I said, "They did not put him in the shower. I was just in there." And they said, "He is in the shower." So we went in the bathroom, opened the door, and of course, Squire came bounding out. Don't tell me these dogs don't have a sense of humor. Soulmates, best friends, absolutely, in every sense of the word. They get to know us, yeah. We get to know them, and we share everything with them. I remember my first job leaving after being in college, leaving the state for the first time to go to Boston, Massachusetts to participate in a project to help develop the Kurzweil reading machine for the blind. It was a Sunday afternoon. I landed in Boston. I knew the address where I was going to be living. Someone else had made the arrangements for that place. I had never been there before, never been to Boston in my life. End up at 322 Beacon Street, didn't know a soul, and had to learn the area, and had to make new friends. But again, first of all, Holland was there, my best friend, who stayed with me, who commiserated with me, who was someone I could talk with and share with, and who did the same for me. Of course, Holland was the same dog that once we were up on a deck, and I was trying to leave the deck, and Holland decided he didn't want to go where I wanted to go. I gave Holland the least correction, and what did Holland do? What Holland did was to suddenly try to walk me off the edge of the deck rather than walking off the stair. A few days later, we were walking down the street, and Holland walked under a mailbox, supposedly clearing those overhead obstacles, right? We know about this, except that my hand hit the mailbox. So what did I do? I gave Holland a leash correction. We went back, tried it again. What did Holland do? He walked under the mailbox again. Four times Holland did that. Four times he got a leash correction. On the fourth time, however, Holland anticipated the leash correction, jerked his head around, hit the mailbox. We didn't have a fifth problem. Vengeance is mine. It's part of the teamwork, and you have to accept it as that and view it for what it is. Fun. Oh, yes, these dogs test us, but they are our soulmates. And then there was Klondike. Klondike was a different kind of creature. Terry Barrett will remember Klondike well, and I know he does. While we were here getting Klondike, we discovered that he was very nervous going into the city. In fact, we would get to wherever we were going in San Francisco, the bus would stop, and Klondike would be shaking and shivering. Did not understand why, because he didn't do that in training. They actually started doing it about the second time we went in the city. I was tempted to give him up. And Terry said, "Well, why don't you just keep trying to work with him?" Because we were able to kind of work Klondike through it. We did. We went home. We worked for a while together. And then Klondike became epileptic. Well, we found medication sequence that would keep the seizures from happening. Once we found the right dosage and the right meds, Klondike went for an additional 7 years without having any seizure and was a great guide dog. Stubborn, however, but a great guide dog. for those of you who know my wife Karen, you know she uses a wheelchair, and for those who don't, now you do. The driveway was very steep, so Karen couldn't go out and fetch the paper. We tried to teach Klondike to do that. Klondike was stubborn, absolutely refused to get the newspaper. He would go walk over it very deliberately, look at it, walk over it, and go on. Would never fetch the paper. But a great guide dog, and I recall using him as we started traveling to New York and doing sales work for companies back there. Fond memories of my friend who once again was with me when no one else was or could be. I always had Klondike. And then my fourth guide, Lenny, who opened up our first office in the World Trade Center with me, moved with Karen and me and two cats to New Jersey, and was a great addition to the family. And then, of course, how could we ever forget the best of all, Roselle?
Yay, Roselle!
With all of the traveling that I do today, hundreds of thousands of miles, as I travel from place to place, I always have my mate, my soulmate, my friend. I have Roselle with me, and we do talk at night in the room. We commiserate about everything, and I kid her about sleeping on the floor when I'm speaking. But I realize it's just because she's heard all of it before. Roselle did everything that she was supposed to do on 9/11. The building was struck.
Let's go over.
She had been asleep under my desk. She came out from under the desk after the building stopped moving. I took cues from her, knowing that she wasn't sensing danger, cues that allowed me to get people who were in our offices, our guests, to exit properly, exit without panic, get to the stairs, and start down. Roselle and I worked together to go down the stairs. Everyone says it's amazing how your dog got you down the stairs. And it's so hard to get people to understand it wasn't the dog, it wasn't the person. It's the camaraderie, it's the team, it's the partnership, first and foremost, that made it possible for us to survive and to help others survive. And then when we got outside, so many other things happened. As we were going down the stairs also, I forgot I should talk about the fact that Roselle got to meet many firemen coming up the stairs. The firemen who stopped, who were concerned about us, who petted Roselle. Roselle gave them all kisses back. The last unconditional love those people ever got as they went up the stairs. They were wonderful people, and she responded in kind, not panicked in any way. She was poised. She was great. And then we did get outside, found ourselves eventually near Tower 2 when it collapsed. And when every other team effort broke down because people were running in sheer panic away from Tower 2, from that horrible cacophony of sound, from the dirt and debris that was flying, Roselle and I continued to work as a team. We ran from the falling building. We were engulfed in the dust cloud. We searched for an entrance to get into a building out of the dust cloud. We found an entrance, and before we could go into the entrance, Roselle stopped because we were at the top of a flight of stairs. She saw it. She guided. She did her job. We went down the stairs. We helped others while we were there. But most of all, we survived and became a stronger team because of it. Soulmate? Absolutely. Best friends? You bet. No question about it. Teammates, pals, confidants, whatever you want to say. Mobility tool? No way. Today is Veterans Day. We honor teamwork again. Veterans will tell you how in the military they had to work together to to accomplish a mission, and they did have to work together. Any team leader, any member of a close-knit team will tell you that the members of the team are soulmates. They get to know each other as well as anyone can know anybody else. They have to do that, otherwise they can't function, they can't do their job, and they can't survive to live another day. So as we think about veterans, as we think about all the things that have happened to us in our lives with guide dogs, as we think about all that is yet to come, it's all about honoring the partnership and the team. In concluding and closing, I can't resist doing something I thought of just this morning in talking about teamwork and how so much has changed in the last 5 years. I travel the country telling people that normal will never be the same again. We have to find our own new normal. If anyone doubts that, just think of the first few lines of the fourth verse of America the Beautiful that go like this. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster's cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. We'll never have that again in this country. It's a new world. It is a world that will succeed if we and others work together. We have to develop trust. We have to be open to trust. We trust our guides. If we don't, then we shouldn't have them. We trust and work with partners in so many ways. Our puppy raisers. And by the way, for any puppy raisers who are here or who might hear this from down the way, let's give them a round of applause. But we have to work together and make this a better world. And most of all, we have to do that because if we don't, then the bad guys who attack us will have already succeeded. And I'm urging you to work together, work with me, work with each other to make sure that the good guys win. Have a great reunion.
Anything else nice about Michael Hinkson? He's also one heck of a singer. We're always, you know, sort of humming tunes. He's really great with the old TV commercial jingles. So, you know, Ghosty Cow, yeah. So if, you know, you get bored tonight in the hospitality suite or something like that, we'll get Michael up there singing some jingles. So let's hear it again for Michael. Thank you very much.
The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. Thought of you, the very thought of you.
This is Chris Peterson. For the last hour, you've been listening to a montage of recordings I made throughout the inaugural 2006 Guide Dogs for the Blind alumni reunion. It was a good time, and well, I took the red-eye flight in and out, and I'm very tired today. I was pleased to be able to put these together for your listening pleasure. You heard a little bit of everything, from sitting in the hotel restaurant and bar to hanging out and chatting with people in the hospitality suite to listening to an address by Michael Hingson, a guide dog user who survived the World Trade Center attacks. And the final song you heard was performed by Jeannie Martin, who is someone that I know quite well. I didn't get a chance to actually talk with her at the reunion, but she was in my first class getting her first dog while I was getting my first dog, Nimitz, in 1996. Thanks for listening. I'll see y'all next week.